From his autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela writes, "Prison life is about routine, each day like the one before, each week like the one before it, so that months and years blend into each other." Welcome to this fine podcast, the podcast that is focused on your self-development and growth. My name is Kevin Miner, and I'm so excited to bring you yet another episode that I hope and pray for sure will enhance your life, if not change it. Allow me to thank you for being such an amazing, amazing audience. Honestly, I am almost overwhelmed, but I don't want to say that because it's a cliche statement. But then honestly, I am overwhelmed. Listen, we have been receiving amazing feedback on Unfolding the Untold, the series that we have been running featuring amazing guests, who most of them are influential, most of them you know them, who have been coming on to tell amazing stories and give a glimpse behind the curtain of probably what you don't get to see. And so I'm happy that you guys are enjoying that, and I'm really grateful for all the feedback. Speaking of which, if you do have a guest that you'd want for us to feature, any guest, could be someone that you look up to, someone that you know has an amazing story, please do reach out to us. We'd love to get this story so that we can inspire more people and relate with more people and listen various perspectives, and so that you know that you are not alone in this life of journey, right? Or journey of life, whatever sounds right. On that note as well, if you do have an amazing story as well, don't feel left out. Kindly reach out to us on Kevin's_pod. That's on Instagram. DM us. We will be so quick to respond. You can reach me if you have my number. Do let me know. I'd be glad to really plan with you. Now, on today's episode, imagine being in a tiny room, specifically, say, 6x6, right? A 6x6 size room, right? And imagine that this room is on an island somewhere far away. And inside this room is a mat, a tiny mat to sleep on. And on that mat is a mere sheet for you to cover yourself when you're sleeping. Regardless of whether it's winter or summer, you just have the sheet. I hope I'm saying sheet with the right intonation, that it doesn't sound otherwise. Anyway, imagine now that you are in this room, stuck in this room, and you're unable to tell what time it is. You're unable to tell what day it is. You're unable to tell what month or year it is. Literally, you are in complete isolation, away from the world, with no idea what is happening beyond your walls. Yes, this was Mandela's life for 27 years. I'm just 21, and honestly, I am almost certain that I have complained more about my life and trivial matters in my life, like, you know, when I lost a girlfriend or when I thought I was not as good looking. I am sure I've complained more than Nelson Mandela ever did in his life in prison. And so COVID-19 has ravaged the world, forcing many of us to remain in the house, you know, away from school, out of work, and in most times with nothing to do. I've realized suddenly that it's so easy to really douse ourselves in anxiety. As a young person, I'm constantly thinking about my future, constantly thinking, how is this situation going to affect that future of mine? Are my goals and dreams still valid? See what I did there? Because Lupita Nyong'o once said, you know, are they still valid, right? You know, you have that self-doubt. Some days you just wake up and you're like, why am I even waking up? I mean, let me just sleep. Let me just binge series. Let me just eat junk. Let me just stay in bed, you know. Let me hurry so that I can sleep on the couch. We all have experienced those days, and it's so much easier to have those days, especially during this time of uncertainty. However, after reading Mandela's autobiography, The Long Walk to Freedom, I couldn't help but juxtapose his life with what is going on right now, and even draw some lessons from how he lived in prison. And so Zelda Langrange, who once worked for Nelson Mandela, and she has an amazing podcast, I do recommend that you listen to it, just named Zelda Langrange. She worked for Nelson Mandela since she was 24 years old. And one time she asked him, how was he able to wake up every morning while in prison, literally to sum up the strength to even wake up every morning while in prison with all those uncertainties in his life? And this is what he said. While he was in prison, he realized that it's so much easier to change others than it is to change ourselves. Like, it's so much easier for you to change someone else than it is to change yourself. Imagine how much easier it is to influence someone else. Yet, it's so hard for us to change ourselves. And he realized this while in prison. And that was almost like a fire in him to just make sure that he still has control over his life. He still knows what he's doing, and he can actually still keep the fire burning regardless of his situation. But here's something that he added when he was asked by Zelda again, when he was asked, and this was somewhat like a statement, and she said, surely there are times, you know, he felt hopeless. Surely there are times he questioned whether it was all worth it. And he said, yes, there were times I truly questioned whether what I was doing was worth it. And if you read his book, Long Walk to Freedom, you will see those times where he highlights, you know, he was thinking, was it worth it? I mean, he spent so much time away from his family. But here's what he said. Every time you wake up, open your eyes, you have to make a decision. You can choose to be depressed, or you can choose to really understand the situation and find out a way in which you can keep your fire burning. In other words, how can you work with what you can work with? How can you control what you can control? Because the situation will remain. COVID-19 is still there. You're probably out of work. You've been laid off work. You need to understand that situation as it is and then figure out, how can I sum up some form of hope? How can I keep the fire burning? How innovative can I be to make sure that I am not drowning into depression? And so while in prison, the prisoners used to be waking up at 4:30 a.m., right? Remember, this was on Robben Island. And here's something to start us off. Nelson Mandela used to take 45 minutes, first thing in the morning, and do his exercise. Now, you might wonder how in that small room, because honestly, hakuna space ya kumove. But here's what he used to do. He used to do about 100 fingertip push-ups. Right, and then he would do 200 sit-ups, and then he'd do some burpees and run on the spot. Now, I'm not telling you to do all this, but as you read the book, you realize that exercise was something that Mandela held dear, and it was any type of exercise. Now, way before even he was in prison, way before he was even, you know, known that much in terms of politics, he used to be a boxer, and he explains that boxing used to help him clear his mind, you know, reduce stress, and at most cases, drive out his anger. Instead of literally going and punching a colleague or a comrade, he would do it on a punching bag. And this is something else that he says. For him, it was an unusual struggle that was almost like a luxury. Mind you, this is a guy who has been in the political face all his life. He's fighting for freedom. And then you give him something else that's more of an unusual struggle. You know, when you're struggling to get that six-pack, or for the girls, that lean waist, right? It's a different struggle from the life struggle that you have. And so it kind of switches your mind to another kind of struggle that for him at that time was like a luxury, right? Imagine when you're worrying about what food to order. You know, when they say people have problems and then there are people who have good problems. When you're wondering, what should I order today? There's someone else who's wondering where he'll get his next meal. You're wondering, what should I order? I have so many choices. I have the money to spend. What should I order? Now, that is a struggle, but with some luxury within it. I hope now you get what I'm saying, right? So for him, it switched his mind from the normal to that kind of struggle that he really relished. So every morning he would look up to waking up at 5. This is before, by the way, he's in prison. Waking up at 5, taking an hour to exercise, and then go on with his normal duties. Now that continued while in prison. And he said he was so intentional in trying to make sure he maintains that. For him, prison life was all about routine. So if he could maintain it every single day, to make sure that all the months and years blend into each other, so that you are not so focused about all the time that you had that you're wasting. So the first lesson to pick up from Nelson Mandela's life in prison is exercise. During the days, the prisoners would be taken to a lime quarry, like a limestone quarry, and they would go there and dig the lime all day. One time he was asked what the main reason of this manual work was, because it was quite a task. And if you read the book, you'll see how difficult it is, how toxic it was for their health, you know, getting into their eyes, sometimes breathing it into their lungs. It was quite a tasking job, right? And so Mandela said that there was actually no main reason for that task, because the lime was not even being used to build something, you know, in the mainland. It was literally being taken and being poured somewhere else. So for them, it was just something to keep them busy. And he said that he appreciated this task because, first of all, it made time pass so fast. You know, you are in that spot, Nini, and you without knowing, it's lunchtime already. But here's something else that he noted. Later on in the years, as they used to converge in the lime quarry, remember, these were political prisoners because they were isolated from other usual, you know, prisoners. While they would converge there, they realized that they had time to communicate, right? And this is an amazing point that struck me. And he relished those moments. He loved going there so that he could communicate with his comrades, as he used to refer to them. And later on, while in prison, Mandela started a garden, and he narrates how his love for gardening came from prison, and how even the wardens allowed him to just, you know, do with his garden. And he used to see his tomatoes grow, his onions grow, and used to relish that and almost juxtapose it to his situation back then and say, you know, if only there was a good system to guide the country would bloom. Just like there is a good person or a good farmer to look after his crops, the crops bloom. So it's not the people who are bad. It's not the crop that is bad. It's just the system that is bad. So it could be that the farmer is bad, right? So it all depends on that. So for him, it was he loved seeing that he could actually let something grow in its purest of form. But he also really wrote a lot of letters to his family. At some point, someone explained that from the letters of Mandela, you could see that he was trying to be a father even while in prison. So he'd write letters to his daughter and really try to comfort, you know, try to teach and do the little that it could even while in prison. So there are two things to carry from this. First of all, keep your mind busy, right? And cherish the time that you have to communicate with your family. Whether they are your close with you at home or far away, do relish those moments. And you will notice how important relationships were to Nelson Mandela. And at some point, you know, Zelda asks him, how does he find it so easy to talk to people that he'd otherwise not relate with? You know, this guy was an icon. And even after he retired, diplomat celebrities used to come and see him. And sometimes she would wonder, how is he talking or easily just having a conversation with people that he'd otherwise not relate with? And he said, people are not good or bad, right? People have their weaknesses and their strengths. So when you are talking to someone, focus on their strength. Look at what are they excellent at. Focus on that. Another lesson that we can learn from Mandela's prison life is reading, right? Now, this is a no-brainer. Nelson Mandela loved reading. He loved reading like a nonsense. And at some point while in prison, they started requesting for books, you know, as people who were still in the university. They were the first people who started requesting for books to pursue their degrees, even while in prison. And he used to do this with his comrades, and they would write letters. And of course, yeah, because of their constant jolting and nagging, they were allowed to have books in prison and study, and even, you know, have like a reading space, which was amazing. And a funny story is told one time when a pastor came to them, you know, when they used to have this CU thing, like all the prisoners, they would just converge somewhere and a priest or a pastor would come and preach to them. And one time, one of his comrades in prison volunteered to pray. And he went up front, akasema, close your eyes, let us pray. And while everyone closed their eyes, this guy literally went to the pastor's bag and took out a newspaper. Right? While people were waiting for him to pray, took out a newspaper and kept it and hid it. And of course, later on, they were found out. But that goes to show how desperate they were to just get some reading material. And there's a lot of stories on how they got newspapers. There are very many stories to that. And at some point, in one of his letters, he writes to his daughters when Winnie was arrested, that, and I'm just paraphrasing, he couldn't imagine how lonely she was without anyone to talk to and without anything to read. That's how reading was key to Mandela. And someone once said that the people who travel the most are the people who travel through the mind, the people who gain ideas. Because as long as you're getting a new idea, as long as you are having a conversation with someone else who lived maybe 100 years before, or who has lived 40 years and you've just lived 20 years, and you're gaining 40 years in a 300-page book, you are way ahead of the game. My last lesson that I probably picked from Nelson Mandela's life in prison that I have applied, or that I can apply and you can apply as well while in lockdown, is creating and creating to serve. Nelson Mandela wrote his autobiography while in prison, and he did this in clandestine or in secret where he wouldn't be found out, and they hid the material. Of course, they were found out, but again, they were published either way. But he wrote with such an urgency to tell his story and inspire people outside. One of the things that quarantine has given us all, or lockdown has given us, is an opportunity to create, an opportunity to really exploit that side of ours that we would otherwise not have time to do, right? You are a writer, you love writing, but unasemanga hauna time. This is the time. Literally, this is the time. You can exploit those gifts and really gear it in service. It's one of the ways to find your purpose and know what you're really meant to do. So creating with an aim to serve. Imagine you're in prison in that small cell with all those guards, and you still have the courage to write. And how he used to, let me just tell you how he used to do it. While they came from the quarry, he would come after lunch, you know, they were taken back to the cell, he would sleep, right? He would sleep. And then at night, at around midnight, he would wake up, write, because that time even the guard amelala pale nje. So he would write all the way to morning, which for me was crazy. So he would write at night. And he did almost finish the book. He came up with the manuscripts. They were sent for publishing. And today, millions of people have been inspired with that book that indeed was written with an aim to serve. I'm hoping that you've enjoyed this episode. That's all I have for you. Please, I'd advise you to go get the book, Long Walk to Freedom. It's timeless, honestly. And sometimes you read and you wonder, these such people truly existed in the world. And no one is perfect, of course, but you definitely need someone who can inspire you and tell you that, yo, there is more to life than the tiny things that are disturbing you right now. In 30 years, they might not even matter. So focus on what is really important. Remember to tag me on your screenshots. If you do like this episode, please, the best you can do is share it. I would really appreciate. Someone else will join the train. And we'll be so grateful. Again, thanks to Will King Studios for powering our episodes. And we're so grateful. And we're hoping that we'll keep serving you more and more. By the way, you can go check out my YouTube channel. I have a link in the description. Do subscribe. We have amazing content. We have grown in the past few months. I am overwhelmed, but I'll keep my cool regardless. Anyway, till next time, guys. Bye.